Hey, this is Keith. I'm the pastor of Blaze Church. Welcome to our podcast. I know today's message is going to inspire you, encourage you, and lead you to know God more. If you want to connect with us, visit us online at blazechurch.org. Enjoy today's message. All right, who's ready? 11:30, are you ready? Awesome, man. I am so excited that you're here today. And hey, if we have not met yet, my name is Keith. My wife, Amy, and I, we have the privilege to serve as the lead pastors of Blaze Church. And we truly are grateful that you are worshiping Jesus with us today in this space or online. And so glad that God's going to do something in your heart. And I want to jump right into this thing, because what we're going to do today and for the next 4 weeks is we're going to talk about money. And I know if this is your first time in church and someone brought you, you told them, don't worry, my church never talks about money. And now here we are. And so I am proving everything right in your head that you have about pastors and church today. And so I just want to encourage you guys that we're gonna have fun through this. And we're going to identify the elephant in the room right now. So the elephant is money, all right? And it's going to be weird, and it's going to be awkward, and it's going to be tense, and hopefully not, but you might have an argument with me in your head over the next 25 minutes instead of just leaning in. But I really do believe that God has a good plan for our lives. In fact, if I were to say we were starting a four-week series on relationships and talking about sex for the next few weeks, that would be less awkward. Like, there's just something about culture. We're desensitized to talking about that and relationships. But when it comes to this money thing, it's like, hold on, that's personal. Right? Like, I meet with couples, and Amy and I, we have time where we're just investing in others. And people will say, hey, give us some advice on parenting. Give us some advice on our marriage. But I have yet to have someone says, Pastor, can you teach me to steward my finances a little bit better? I'll show you my checkbook and what I make, and you just help me manage. That just doesn't happen. In fact, you're going to get together with maybe some friends or family over the next couple weeks for holidays, and there's three things you shouldn't talk about: politics, religion, and money. It's like, no one wants to talk about what they make and how much they make and all of that. But really, God has so much to say about money and how we manage it. In fact, let me share this with you. Jesus told 39 parables. A parable was a story that Jesus told that would teach us heavenly principles. 11 out of those 39 were about, who wants to guess? Money, yeah. 28% of the time that Jesus was telling stories, he was talking about how we use our money. In fact, if you read the book of Luke, which is the third book in the New Testament, Luke writes that Jesus spoke more about money in his ministry than any other topic. That means more than heaven, more than hell. That means more than relationships. No, Jesus spoke about money. In fact, let's see if you can get this one, because you're doing really good here. Jesus said that there is a great contender for your heart that you can serve either God or, who wants to guess? No, it wasn't money, actually. It was Satan. No, I'm just joking. It was money. I just got to have a little bit of fun with you. Come on, stay with me. 11:30. The third time over. Yes, it was money. Interestingly, Jesus didn't say it's God or the devil. He said it is God or money for our hearts. And so, yeah, we're going to talk about this thing for 4 weeks. It's something that maybe you have a lot of, maybe you wish you had more of, but all of us, we interact with money on a regular basis. So we want to discover how we can best do that in a way that honors God. So here's our four principles. I'm going to say them first, and I'm going to invite you to say them with me. So we see in scripture, less is more, stress is bad, giving is good, and tomorrow matters. In fact, could you say that with me nice and loud? Less is more,
stress is bad,
giving is good, tomorrow matters. You said that so well. Let's do it again, even louder. Less is more, stress is bad, giving is good, tomorrow matters. And so what we're doing is we're going to look at these four principles from Scripture on how we can manage money. And the first one we're going to start with is this: less is more. Less is more. The reason why we're starting here is because there is a lie that exists in culture. In fact, I believe it was the first lie that Satan told Adam and Eve in the garden. And maybe you've believed it before. I know I certainly have. And here's our lie: you need more to be happy. Anyone here ever believed that lie before? It's okay. It's church. You can be honest. All right, I believe that. You need more. In fact, Adam and Eve, they were put into perfect creation, a perfect garden. It was so perfect, they didn't even need clothes to cover up their bodies. It was just perfection, and they had everything they needed. But the enemy came along and said, hold on, you need more. It's really what that lie was, right? You need this fruit. You need this. If you have this, then you'll be happy. Now, if you don't think anybody loves you today, I want to tell you that there are a group of strangers that don't even know your name, but they love you. We call them the advertising industry. And if you're in advertisements, I want to just encourage you and say, I'm not against you, okay? This is not against advertisers. If you're offended, you can email me, rachel@blazechurch.org, all right? But I want to just show you, look at this. In 2018, the top 200 advertising companies spent $163 billion on you because they love you, because they want to make sure that there are things that you need that you didn't even know you needed until you saw that thing, that there's upgrades for you and there's more purchases for you. And that is the goal of advertisements. And again, not against advertisements, but it really does show the lie that we have in our culture, right? No one's content. We need more to be happy. All right, by a show of hands, who here would admit that they are a greedy person? Oh, there's a couple honest people in this service. You're better than the 10-15. Not one hand went up during that question. Now let's do it again. Who here would admit that they know someone who's greedy, and boy, they should be here for this sermon? There's a whole lot more hands going up. Why is that? Because greed is one of those things that it's really hard to see in us, but it's really easy to see in others. And I think the reason for that is we don't use the word greed too often. We say things like, I just like nice things. That's all it is, Pastor. I just like nice things. Or, hey, I'm sentimental. I can't get rid of this. You don't understand. A family member I never met before gave me this, and I've got to hold on to it just in case. We're not greedy. We're just wise. And who knows? The day may come where fuchsia jackets are back in style, and I'm going to need this, so I can't get rid of it. There's something about greed that none of us are, but all of us know people who are. And yet Jesus is going to show us in his teaching that greed is something all of us truthfully struggle with to different degrees. And so here's where I'm going to ask you to lean in as best as you can. I'm going to ask you to pay attention here and to just keep your eyes on this screen and read along scripture and allow the Holy Spirit into your heart to say, yeah, there might be a little greed there. Yeah, there might be something you can get rid of. There might be a better way, because what's our principle for today? Let's say it together. Less is more. So there were two brothers that came to Jesus, and the one brother said, Jesus, tell my brother to give me more of the inheritance. I want more stuff. And Jesus did not agree to the brother's terms. Rather, he told him a parable, a story, and then he gave his disciples a lesson. So we're going to read Luke chapter 12 together. And this is what Jesus says. Then he said to them, say these first two words with me. Watch out. Come on, say it nice and loud. Watch out. He says, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. You know, Jesus has to start this teaching with these two words, watch out, because as I said, greed is something we're not on guard for. Right, that's why I'm thankful for traffic signs, especially the one-way ones. Like anyone else besides me ever driven down a one-way street the wrong way and then a car had to honk at you because you were in a city you've never been before? It's not my fault, bro. I've never been there. Right, but that's the point of a traffic sign. It tells you yield, slow down, and be prepared to stop. A stop sign says don't proceed without stopping. Signs are used to tell us watch out. And so before Jesus addresses the heart issue of these brothers, he starts by saying, watch out, be on guard about all kinds of greed, like the little greed and then the obvious greed. Why? I'll summarize, because Jesus understands this and you understand it. He says in essence this, life is more than stuff. Come on, how many would agree with that? Life is more than stuff. In fact, if you were to make a list of your top three priorities right now, I doubt very highly that it would be new iPhone, leather couch, granite countertops. Right, those are nice things. That's some nice stuff. But the reality is life is more than that. Life is more than stuff. And so here Jesus says, come on, life isn't the abundance of possessions. You know it's more than that. And so Jesus tells them a parable. So he says this. He told them the parable, which is a story. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest, and he thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to, say this word with me, store. Store my crops. I want you to get that word because Jesus is going to use that word store a few times here. He says, I have no place to store my crops. Now, let me be very careful to call this out. The problem is not that the man had an abundance of stuff. The problem is that he thought his stuff was just for him. The problem was not that his business was doing well. The problem is not, oh, he had a lot of grain coming in. He had a lot of income coming in. The problem here is he thought about, how am I going to store this stuff for me? God is not against your business doing well. God is not against any of that. Here it is. The man looks at income and says, what am I going to do with all this? How am I going to store all of this stuff? And so here, Jesus goes on with the story. Then he said, this is the man speaking, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and, what's the next three words? Build bigger ones. I know what I'll do to fix this problem. I'll just build bigger barns. And there I will store my surplus grain. Now, again, I'm not against you if you're in advertising, and I'm also not against you if you are in the United States self-storage industry. I just did a little research this week. And it's fascinating because that industry is a $39 billion a year industry with more than 60,000 spaces available across the United States. That's 1.7 billion square feet of self-storage that you can get on average for $87.89. Long Island, probably not going to happen at that price. Put a one before that 87. But think about that. Just think for a moment. What produced that industry? We have too much stuff. Like, I ran out of room in my house, so I put it in the basement, and then I didn't fit there, so I went into the creepy attic, and I just shoved bins up there, and then that didn't work, so I filled the garage, and we parked the car on the street now, and then I had to put it in a shed on my property, but my neighbor's mad, because now I have four sheds, and so now I pay someone else for their shed, and I keep my stuff there. Of course, I'm exaggerating, and again, if you have stuff in storage, please don't be offended. But it's just interesting because really what that is I've got a lot of stuff and the lie of culture is more makes me happy. But the principle we're going to see from Jesus is less is more. So this man goes on and he says, and I'll say to myself after he has his bigger barns, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. Now, I'll be honest, as I was reading this and prepping, I was kind of upset with Jesus because I was like, what's the problem here? In my opinion, this man is a wise businessman, and he's created a first century Roth IRA. That's pretty good. He figured out how to retire young and take it easy. I mean, that's a great principle. In fact, that's why you have to come back in 4 weeks when we talk about principle four, Tomorrow Matters, because there's great godly principles about retirement and investing. But this really isn't that for this guy. The issue isn't that he built a good retirement account for himself. The issue is he stored up everything for himself. It was really all about him. And we see that in the next statement that Jesus makes in the story. We read, but God said to him, you fool. I want to pause for a second because I don't know what you think God calls us. But there's very few times in Scripture where we read God calling someone a fool. And I think if he does, we should probably listen to what follows after that statement. In fact, even in Jesus's parables, it's often hard to decipher who is God. You might find yourself like Nicolas Cage chasing clues to find the treasure. You're just trying to figure out, what does all this mean? What are the birds about? What does that have to do with anything? But here, Jesus is very clear and says, there was a man. Really, he had a greed problem. He stored it all up for himself. He built bigger barns to keep storing it for himself. And one night, God came and said, you fool. Why did he say that? Because this very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then, who will get what you have prepared for yourself? Notice, the issue was this. That very night, this man's life, which the Greek word there shows us, it was about his spirit, his soul, his whole self, was going to be moved into eternity. He would be losing his life on earth. And Jesus says, your life's going to be demanded of you now. See, I would say it this way. He was full-handed on earth, but he was going into eternity empty-handed. Or to put it this way, he prepared for life before death, but he neglected life after death with his stuff. He was so very prepared for a long life on earth, but he never took in consideration the truth that there is, in fact, life after death. Jesus ends his parable this way and says, "This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God." Notice this isn't just about this man. This isn't just about the brothers that approached him that day. Jesus says, this is how it is for whoever. Whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. Now, Jesus' parable ends there, but his teaching doesn't, because he uses a conjunction. And all of us are brilliant enough to know conjunction, junction, what's your function? We all saw Schoolhouse Rock, and we know exactly what its function is. It's to join two thoughts together. And so Jesus finishes his storytelling, but now he's going to move into teaching, and specifically to those who he calls his disciples. So if right now you are a Christ follower, like Jesus is your Savior, and you are living for him, he has paid the price for your sins, I really want you to listen, because these are the words he has for you. And if today you don't know Jesus as Savior, then I want you to lean in, because Jesus can be your Savior today. Do you believe that? So look at what he says for his disciples. Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore, I tell you," read these words with me, "do not worry about your life." Jesus looks at his followers and he says, don't worry about your life. Now, I was thinking about the word worry, and really, who is at the root of worry? Like, when I worry, who am I most worried about? It's me. Right? When you worry, you're not so worried about other people's finances, other people's children, other people's future. What worry does is it causes us to shift the focus off of others and off of God and instead focus here. Really, the root of worry is selfishness. Like, I can't trust you enough, God, with my future. I'm going to worry about it. I'm going to try to figure it out. I'm going to try to plan it out. I can't trust you with my stuff and live on a less is more principle. I've got to take care of me. And so Jesus says, don't worry. But what I love is Jesus doesn't just throw an impossible command at us and sets the bar really high. Because let's be honest, do not worry is way easier said than done, isn't it? Sure, I just won't worry about it. Give me a reason why I shouldn't worry, Jesus. And he gives us three. I'm not going to read it all. I want you to do that this week. But here's three reasons. The first thing he says is don't worry about it. Why not? Because life is more than stuff. He's already told us that. It was Mr. Wonderful on Shark Tank, who at one point, there was someone who was there trying to sell their idea, and they didn't get the deal, and they started to cry. You know Mr. Wonderful. He says, hey, stop. Don't cry about your money, because your money will never cry about you. He didn't know how theologically deep he was in that moment. Don't cry about your stuff. Your stuff's not crying for you. Your money's not trying to figure you out. No, don't worry about it. Jesus goes on and he says this. Here's another reason not to worry. Why? Because you matter. Jesus says, look at the birds of the air, look at the flowers of the field. And he teaches and says, if God takes care of them, how much more will he take care of you? I want you to hear this today. Even outside the context of your finances, you matter to God. You matter to him. He loves you. And it's not based on what you've done or what you haven't done. It's not based on the color of your skin. It's not based on any amount of prayers you could pray. You matter to God simply because you do. Simply because God is love and he loves you. I think that's good news worth celebrating this morning. You can't gain any more of God's love and you can't stop him from loving you. You matter to him. He says, don't worry about it. And the third reason he gives us, which we've probably all experienced, is this. Jesus says, don't you know that by worrying, you can't even add a single hour to your life? In fact, I would say probably the opposite. Worry tends to shorten our lives, doesn't it? It really does. It just steals joy. It steals life from us. We're up all night worrying about things that we can't even control the outcomes to. Jesus is saying, don't worry about it. You don't need more to be happy. Let me read the ending of Jesus' teaching. He says, these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world, but your Father already knows your needs. That's comforting to me. Like your Father in heaven, if you are in Christ today, God is your Father. He knows exactly what you need. And Jesus goes on to say, so seek the kingdom of God above all else. He will give you everything you need. So don't be afraid, little flock. And I just think there's just such beauty in that passage. Like for me, it reminds me of Psalm 23. Like the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Don't be afraid, little flock, Jesus says. And then he says, it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. Like, could you just take whatever image you have of this angry, vindictive God, that cultural God, and just get rid of him and say, no, there's a God who says, it gives me joy to give you things. Like, if you're a good parent today, you know that. And that's exciting for you to bless your children with something that is for their benefit. Jesus says, sell your possessions and give to those in need. This will, notice now, Jesus is going to use the word, but he changes the place. He says, it will store up treasure for you in heaven. And the purses of heaven never get old or develop holes. Like a Costanza wallet still looks good in heaven. There's no holes there. Your treasure will be safe and no thief can steal it. No moth can destroy it. And now Jesus gives us the point we have to grasp today. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. What Jesus says is this, and you know this is true. If you want to know what you're most passionate about and you want to know where your heart is, just pull up your mobile banking app and see where it's all going. It's uncomfortable, isn't it? Wow, I love Starbucks. But think about it. You invest in something and then your heart gets connected to it. It's very rarely the other way around. Like first you put money into it, then you'll check to see how it's doing. Like I put money into a gym membership, so you better believe I'm gonna be there because I put money in it. And so my heart's now there. Jesus is just telling us things we already know. We just get uncomfortable about it because we think this is personal business and Jesus shouldn't speak into this. And yet it's the one thing that Jesus says you can worship more than him. Now I wanna be as clear as I can be here. And so if you've kind of checked out, I want you to come back for a second. In fact, just sit up a little bit more. Just listen in, breathe in, because you can't miss this. This is probably the most important part. In fact, I'll say it is the most important part of this sermon. If we don't get this right, then we have false teaching. And here's what it is. You cannot buy your way into heaven. You can't. And in the first century church, Paul called out pastors who are preaching money and preaching just sow a seed and you're going to reap your salvation and you just got to give a little bit more to gain the love of God. Can I tell you that is unbiblical? It's not scriptural. And so today is not about you just got to give a little bit more so that you can get a little more of the grace of God. God has already given you his undeserved, amazing grace. His love is already for you. You can't purchase it. Jesus died, so it's a gift to you. And so this is not you just got to give a little bit more so you can have your sins forgiven. That's not the gospel. In fact, I want to read you a verse out of a passage of scripture we're going to read in a couple weeks as it relates to giving. And Paul gives the heart of the gospel right in the middle of it. He gives us our reason to live with less is more. He says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. And he's not talking about a bigger bank account. He's talking about richness that is for you in heaven. He's talking about knowing your sins are forgiven. He's talking about you knowing you have a relationship with the creator of the universe, God as Father, because the Son came and died on a cross for you. Think about it. Jesus adopted a less is more attitude. He left the pleasures of heaven, everything he had at his disposal. Like he could have just think about a latte and it would appear in his hand in heaven. He just had everything he needed and he was born in a barn as a baby. We're going to celebrate that next month. But that's the truth that should be alive in our hearts as followers of Christ every day, that the greatest riches that you and I could ever encounter are not found in our pockets, they're found in our hearts. And Jesus makes it possible for us to store up treasures in heaven. So here's my question for you today. Where is your heart? Not where's your money, but your money will be a good indicator of where your heart is. Where are your treasures? Where are you storing up? Have you believed culture's lie that more is better? Well, if one car is good, then two is better. If $1 is good, two is better. If one kid is good, and that's where the analogy falls apart. Amen? I love both my kids. I tell my son, you're my favorite son, my daughter, you're my favorite daughter, and there's no more. Come on, we can't keep believing that lie that more is better and that everything that comes your way is supposed to just be for you. Store up treasures in heaven. In fact, this is probably one of the most easily practiced messages because you can go home now and you can, well, not yet. As people start, we're done. You can go home and you can start to allow the Holy Spirit to take inventory with you. And just say, Holy Spirit, what are the things that maybe I have too much of? I just want to be on guard against greed. I want to watch out, like Jesus said. I know life is not the abundance of possessions, and allow him to show you. And I do believe that this week, maybe you're going to give away clothes, you're going to give away toys, you might give away a car. God's going to stir your heart to be a blessing to someone else. And then at your small group this week, you're going to get to share with other group members. Yeah, we cleaned up. We got rid of a whole bunch of stuff that truthfully we didn't need. I got $87.89 back in my bank account every month now. I mean, those things are going to start to happen when we embrace this less is more. Store up treasure in heaven. Now, what I want to do is I want to invite you to pray today. And I really want to pray with you if honestly you're going into eternity empty-handed. Because that would be the greatest tragedy. That there is a God who sent his son Jesus to this world, who left the pleasures and treasures of heaven, became poor so that we might become rich in him. I want to pray that you would put your faith in him today, that you would go from living for yourself to living surrender to Jesus, to giving him access to everything in your life, and just watch as you start to really live a blessed and an abundant life, because that's what Jesus does, and it has nothing to do with our bank accounts, and it has everything to do with our heart and our standing before him. Jesus is concerned with where you are with the Father, and everything else flows from there. And so would you bow your heads with me as we pray this prayer together? And if you've never put your faith in Jesus, as we pray this, I'm going to invite you to not just make it words from your mouth, but may it be the prayer of your heart to invite Jesus in. Say this with me. Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus died and rose again so I could be forgiven. Thank you for new life. Today, I give you mine. Thank you for making me new. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Church, can we celebrate with people who are putting their faith in Jesus today? We truly believe that when we pray and confess with our mouths, we are saved. And so if you made that decision, we want to give you a free resource when you leave. Go to the Connect table outside, and one of our Connect team players will be there to put something in your hand that says, what's my next step? Now, before we sing a worship song together, I do want to share with you some very exciting news for Blaze Church and where God is leading us to next. It was the beginning of last month where we stood up here and we celebrated 5 years as a church. In fact, I think we could always celebrate that. 5 years ago, there was 7 adults in this space. And you can just look around right now. Well, it looked like this 3 times today. And so I think God is doing something pretty miraculous here. And yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just what God's doing. And so we shared vision of how we have this property and we want to see a life-giving facility built right here in this community, one where we can meet needs of people. And we started talking as a pastoral leadership team and our board and all of us just coming together and saying, well, how do we actually get there? Like if we're here right now in this space, financially and square footage-wise, how do we get there? And if I'm your pastor, let me speak to you. And if not, you're visiting today, you can listen as well. But I want you to know as your pastor, I want to lead with wisdom. I want to lead and operate with a team that is around me and over me that says, what does wisdom call us to do? And we kind of concluded that wisdom doesn't call us to get in over our heads and incur lots of debt and then ask God to bless it. That's not what we want to do as a church. And I don't want to be a pastor that comes up here every week and says, now, church, you made some faith pledges and you need to fulfill them. I don't want to do that either. That's not wisdom. And so we started saying, well, then how do we get there? We know God's got this vision for this building, but how do we actually get there? And we've been knocking on a whole bunch of doors for a few weeks and saying, God, show us where we go and grow next so that more people might come to know you. And so I want you to take a look at this little video presentation that we have, and then I'm going to come back on stage, and I'm going to try to answer questions that I think you're asking, and then we're going to celebrate Jesus with one more song. So look at what we got for you. on, let's worship Jesus together. So I am so excited, church, to share with you that we are going to be Blaze Church Portable. Man, God is opening up the door for us to take a next step and to say, we have outgrown this building. Can you say amen? I mean, it's just, we've outgrown it. And really, adding services doesn't change a lot of the problems that we're facing. Like, that lobbyette is going to be a lobbyette no matter how many services we add. And our kids zone check-in space is going to be that tight no matter how many services we add. And people just keep coming to God, and we want to keep providing space for them to come to God more. And so I'm excited for this. I want to share with you a couple things that we're not doing, and I want to share with you a couple things that we are doing. So the first thing I want you to understand is this. We are not leaving Flanders. We're not leaving this community. In fact, Monday through Saturday, our ministry flows from this building. Like, our offices are here, our homeless are going to be served here, our food pantry happens here, our monthly prayer services happen here. We are still a community, a church rather, that's meeting this community. And on Sundays, we're going to have church services across from Tanger at the Residence Inn. The second thing I want you to understand is this, we're not selling any property. And I say that just so you know, this vision to see a building built on this property is there. It's not like, well, Pastor, last month you had that vision, and now we got this. What do we? We're taking wise steps so that we can see a life-giving facility on this property. Does that make sense, everybody? So we want to use wisdom and say, well, we know that we need to go somewhere to grow. Like, we can't keep doing what we're doing here. So here's some things that we are doing. The first thing is this: we are making space. Like, we're making space. Right now, our entire facility is 2,200 square feet, and we're going to be using more than 4,500 square feet every single Sunday. Like, our kids' space right now, we've got all these kids downstairs, nursery and preschool and elementary, and they're all in 400 square feet. In our new space, you saw on that screen, more than 500 square feet just for our nursery. If you're a parent of a baby, go ahead and say amen there. Like, there's a walker side, there's a crawler side. Like, we're choosing excellence. We're making space for people who don't know Jesus. And let me turn this off for a minute. And so we need to make it so that people can come here safely, because we believe in that, and everything that's asked of us, we do. But really, like, I know for me, I've got friends and family members that don't know Jesus, and quite frankly, like, we don't even have a seat for them. Like, our welcome team right now, I saw during a message, and you guys were so gracious, we're trying to shuffle people around and seat people, but we're going to have a lobby now. We're going to have more than 130 seats in a main space. Someone say amen for that. Like, it's exciting. The second thing we're doing is we're pursuing excellence. So we're not just going to show up to a hotel on Sunday and put some chairs together and have church. No, everything you see that we do that makes Blaze Church, from the lighting to the sound system to the full band to our kids' environments that are strategically created for each age and stage, like, all of that is happening still in a more excellent way because now we have more space to do it. The third thing we're doing, it's really, I want you to get this, is we're putting others first. In fact, I want you to say this with me. It's not about me. Go ahead and say that. It's not about me. In fact, Pastor Chris Hodges, who pastors Church of the Highlands, a great mentor to me, he says it this way: the church should be the one organization that exists for its non-members. Let that sink in. That's what we do here at Blaze Church. Like, if this is your church and you're on the dream team and you give, you get this, because we create a space for your unsaved loved ones, for those who don't yet know God, who don't know what an abundant life in Jesus looks like. And so I know right now you're probably calculating mileage and saying, wow, my ride just got 5 miles longer. My ride just got 5 miles shorter. I could sleep in a little bit more. Let me remind you, it's not about you. It's not about us. It's about us saying, God, where are you calling us? We want to go where we can grow and reach more people with the gospel. In fact, I'll give you this one too. What we're doing is we're creating new teams. As you can imagine, if we're more than doubling our square footage space, well, we're going to need more people serving as greeters and ushers. And our kids team right now, there's about 3 to 4 typically on a service. Well, there's going to be about 8 to 12 now, because we want to pursue excellence and make sure we can meet the needs of every child that's there. In fact, there's new teams that are being created. One of them is our load-in team, our setup team. It's going to have an early call time, and they're going to set up church at a hotel. Like, just imagine this with me. And there's some of you, you're getting inspired. Like, you want to roll out road cases and put out wiring and set up a soundboard every day. Well, we're getting a 24-foot trailer that's all vinyl wrap, Blaze Church, going down 58. Like, there goes Blaze Church. Look at, there they go again. And you're, some of you, like, you can't, that's your team. Like, you, we say it, you're created on purpose for a purpose. And this really is going to be all of us saying, how can we be the church in this space? And our teardown team that'll put it all back in the case and drive it back over for next Sunday. There's going to be a lot of information for you. Here's the fifth thing. What we're doing is we're going. And what I mean by that is, and this really is what matters so much to me, is we're not going to be a church that says, come to us. We're going to be a church that says, we're coming to you. Like, just think about how beautiful this is, that there are people who are going to be staying overnight at a hotel, and they thought all they were getting was a continental breakfast, but they're getting Jesus Christ as their Savior. Come on, somebody. Like, they're going to hear worship music and see friendly people and say, what's going on in there? Oh, come on, get some coffee and come on in. We want you to know Jesus. We're going across the street from Tanger Outlet, just opportunity for us to bring more people the gospel. We're going to people. So there's two big questions that you're probably asking that I want to answer now. And the first one is this: when is all this starting? What's the intended date for this? And right now we're looking at Sunday, January 24th as our first service there at the Residence Inn. See, what we've done this past week is, or past weeks rather, we've been working with a professional company called Portable Church Industries, and they're the ones that provided those floor plans. They actually came out last week, saw the space, started building a system for us that's just for our church and is just for this space, and we're working with them to build this system out over the next 10 weeks, which is also crazy to say that there's 10 more Sundays in this building, and then we're going to have some breathing room. And here's the last question. What can you do? And if Blaze Church is your church, I know this is a question that we all ask. What can I do? How can I be a part of this? How can I be involved in this? How can I make a difference? And so what we've been working on is we built a separate webpage just for this called blazebeyond.org. Blazebeyond.org. And when you leave today, you don't have to try and write it. Everyone's going to get one of these cards when you go out the door today. Hopefully we have enough. We printed off like 120, but man, church is popping today, man. And so if your spouse gets one, maybe just you guys share. But blazebeyond.org, and on this webpage, we have everything that you need. We have more about the floor plans, more about the square footage, about the kids' environments, about being on the dream team, about financially investing. Everything is there. And I know you're excited, so please, legal disclaimer, nobody try to surf and drive at the same time. Right? Keep your phone away while you drive, get home, and then go on the webpage. But it really is exciting. I do want to highlight one thing specifically, because as you can imagine, if obviously we're going into a new space and we're doing it with excellence, then we're gonna financially invest in this space. And I'm so thankful for you, Blaze Church, because of your radical generosity, we already have 75% of the goal met just from weekly give. Like, we're already more than halfway there as a church. And as I said, we're not going into debt over this. We're not liquidating all our savings over this. We just don't operate that way as a church here. We move forward in faith and in wisdom. And so we've created what we're calling a beyond goal. Our Blaze Beyond goal is this, that we want to celebrate $30,000, really the last quarter of this project, given by December 13th towards the build out of this new space. And if right now you're thinking, saying, now, hold on, I get it now. You're doing a financial series and you're taking our money, Pastor. It wasn't like that, all right? It just kind of happened this way. We do our preaching calendar at the beginning of the year. But I do believe you're going to have good investment principles to be a part of this thing. But I'll say this. Over the past 6 weeks, we've been giving out our Blaze Beyond mugs. If you got a Blaze Beyond mug, we got these coffee mugs. If you didn't get one, grab one today at the Connect table. We gave out over 120 of these things, which is amazing. But our financial team gave me an update, a report there, and it showed that to date, less than a dozen people have actually given towards Blaze Beyond. And so that just means we got a church full of thieves. I'm just joking, trying to cut the tension with a little joke there. But we had said, like, take this mug and pray and ask God to stir your heart. How much should I give towards the vision of this church? And in fact, I've had people ask me, like, Pastor, what should I give? Because I want my giving to make a difference. And so here's what I'm suggesting to you. And it's just a suggestion. But if there's more than 100 mugs and then 100 people say, you know what, I'll give $300 for this mug. Like, this will be the most expensive mug I've ever bought in my life, but the coffee's going to taste the best out of it. But math says 100 times 300 is 30,000. Like, that, it really is that simple there. And I want to say this to you. Scripture says that each of us should decide in our heart what to give. So please do not let the enemy get in right now and say, see, there he is telling you how much to give. No, for some of you, it's gonna be a zero less than that. It might even be two zeros less than that. For some of you, you might add a zero or two for that. That's why over 5 weeks from now, before December 13th, I want you to begin praying. And if you have that mug, when you drink from it, pray, Holy Spirit, what are you calling me to give? How can I be a part of this thing? God has a plan for our church. Who's excited to be a miracle for this community? Because that's what this is. I mean, this is us saying, we want to go, we want to grow, and when God opens the door, we're going to start building. When it makes sense and we have wisdom and resources, we will see this life-giving facility go up in the heart of Flanders. And so I'm going to invite our band to come on stage with me right now, and we're going to worship Jesus with just one more song, really just a part of this song. And it's called Won't Stop Now. And in it, we sing this line, by faith, I see a miracle. And I want you to know, Blaze Church, that I believe God is calling us to trailblaze the way for more people to know him, that we are going to be the miracle for people, that this isn't about a bigger facility or more space or financial investments. No, this is about people who are far from God, who are going to come to know God in Jesus' name, that they're going to put their faith in him, and that God is calling us to be the church of the East End. How cool is that vision that God's saying, I'm going to put you right here and have your influence go out from Riverhead onto the South Fork and the North Fork and Flanders. God is, he's just setting us up for something beautiful. I truly believe that. And so I'm thankful for this next season, this next step. And so I'm grateful that you're here today. I want to invite you to put your mask back on at this time as we're getting ready to sing. We're going to be speaking. And so why don't you stand up with me as we sing this song together, just a piece of it, about how God has a plan for our lives, that he's not going to stop, that what he's bringing us to, he is going to bring us through. And we're going to celebrate Jesus going forth in this community. Father, I thank you that you have a calling on our church. I thank you that you have a plan for Blaze Church. I thank you for every person today here or those listening later in the week. Stir our hearts to be radically generous. Lord, we're giving you all the glory. We're going to see a miracle happen. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's worship Jesus.